But I always tell patients, like, reframe burnout as a signal instead of a flaw. And the tips I kind of give is, like, instead of asking what's wrong with me, it's like, what do I need more of right now? Do you need more rest, hydration, nourishment, or support before you start and try to, you know, achieve new goals and work hard and go back to the gym and eat right? So when you ask yourself, like, what do you need in this moment, it lowers your stress immediately.
Guess what, guys? I'm not a doctor. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor. That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery. I love you guys, and be careful, and consult your doctor.
Alrighty, welcome back to our Sleep Life podcast. And today, guys, I have a treat, and I say that all the time, but I mean it just as much as I do every other time, because we have a pop expert. And if you guys have been following along, you'll see November we had a pop expert, December we had a pop expert, and now January we do too. And I love it because she is a resilience coach and a nurse. Her name is Jaylen. Welcome on to the show, Jaylen.
Hi, Miss Mel, and hello to all the listeners. I am so happy to be here during the new year and talk about motivation and give some tips to everybody.
Yes, because, you know, we're all in it right now. You know, everybody yes. has a New Year's resolution or something they're working on. But it's yes. about this time of year, it fades, unfortunately. Like, it starts really strong the first 2 weeks and then it starts fading. So I wanted yes. to have someone on the show that can help us not let it fade. So first, before we could dive into that, just tell everybody, you know, who you are, your background, and how did you become part of POP?
So I am a registered nurse. I just graduated maybe 4 years ago now. I got my master's in science and leadership.
Awesome.
And, you know, starting to become a nurse, I never knew I was going to get into the plastic surgery, bariatric surgery field. It was not even on my radar. You know, I went to nursing school. I did my clinical rotations and I was like, I'll figure it out once I graduate. You know, I graduated. I was a CNA first, then I was an LVN, then I was an RN. So I worked my way up from the bottom. And I love that because I feel like it gave me so much experience. And when I became an RN, I said, okay, like maybe I'll go to the hospital, even though I was at the hospital as an LVN. And, you know, COVID hit. And then I was like, my friend was like, don't come to the hospital. It's crazy out here. Don't do it. And I was like, well, shoot, I need to work. I just got out of school. My student loans are going to start mm-hmm. soon. Like, what am I going to do? And I was a home health nurse as an LVN also and as an RN. And okay. I love home health because I did a lot of wound care. And I made my own schedule and the money was good and I can work as much as I wanted to. So I was hustling as a home health nurse and I was like, I want to do something else now. I've done this for a long time. And I took a couple COVID crisis assignments. And then I started working on Indeed. I started searching and I saw a concierge recovery nurse in person, Beverly Hills. I was
interesting.
Like, what? Yes. I was like, what is this? And, you know, I went and did my interview and I met with the CEO of the concierge company. And pretty much what they did was after plastic surgery, they would go and pick up the patient, very fancy, in a black SUV, Beverly Ooh. Hills. Yes, girl.
Let's
and
go.
We would bring them back to a hotel. It was a boutique hotel in Beverly Hills. And our boss rented out the floor of the hotel. And we turned these hotel rooms into, like, recovery rooms. You know, IV pole, SCDs, blood pressure cuffs, trays, everything. And this was new to me. Like, they don't teach you this in nursing school. And I started doing concierge in person and meeting with plastic surgeons and meeting with plastic surgery nurses. And went after a year of doing that, I would pick up from the surgery centers. And there was this one nurse, her name's Brittany, and she was about to get married and have a baby. And she goes, you know what? She goes, I love you. You're smart. You're motivated. Come work with us. Be a surgical nurse. And I was like, what? I was like, I've never worked in an operating room. I don't know left from right. Like, you know, and she's like, I'll teach you everything. And I said, shoot, I was so nervous. But they say, you know, if you're not nervous about doing something, like, it's not big enough for you. And I knew, like, I just had to bite the bullet. And I said, okay. I was like, I'm going to go for it. And she goes, you just have to ask the surgeon first. And I was like, girl, I thought you got me the job. So I remember it was Dr. William Rahal in Beverly Hills. He's the, you know, BBL lipo king. And I went up to him and I was like shaking, right? I was like, can I work for you? I'm a registered nurse. I will work full time. Like, I'll learn everything I need to learn. And he goes, do you have your BLS or ACLS? I was like, yes. He goes, like, is your license in within good standing? I was like, yes. And he was like, okay. He's like, we'll test you out. And then the rest is history. Yes, the rest is history. I was so nervous learning everything, being in the operating room, seeing them cut open patients, doing tummy tucks and BBLs. And I was like, where am I? And I started to work with other surgeons and pick up extra shifts. And then, you know, from there, I was like, what I noticed is a lot of patients, they don't read the pre-op books. They don't read the post-op books. And, you know, I'm pre-opping them the morning of surgery. And they're like, oh, wait, I needed to do that. Oh, wait, I don't have these supplies. And I was like, girl, what are you doing? Like, did you not read anything we gave you? And, you know, the years went on and I started my own social media about just pre-opping and post-op education for plastic surgery. And that's how I met the CEO of POP, Miss Laura, and we instantly connected.
Yeah.
And she was like, I want you on our team. I want you to be one of the resilience coaches. And from there, that's how it landed me at POP. And I'm so grateful and so happy to be here because this company is what we needed a decade ago because there's so many women and men out there who don't get the same level of care pre-op and post-operatively compared to like an orthopedic patient or a bariatric patient or a heart patient. Like, just because it's cosmetic and it's elective doesn't mean that, oh, well, here's a packet and, you know, we're done with you. Have fun. You paid your thousands of dollars for surgery and that's it. So POP literally holds a special place to my heart because this is what women and men need.
Sunshines, quick moment for real talk. If you're getting ready for bariatric surgery or you are somewhere in the messy middle of transformation, you already know the surgery is the easy part. It's everything else that gets overwhelming. That's why we've partnered with POP Recovery Systems. They are not a doctor's office. They are not another app. They're an actual team of recovery experts who walk with you through the whole journey from the pre-op nerves to the plastic stage. If you go that route, POP gives you one-on-one support like mental health coaching, nutrition guidance, mobility help, wound healing tips, all personalized to your procedure. And honestly, they just make you feel less alone. Their community is full of people who get it, and their coaches show up for you in a way most of us wish we had the first time around. If you've been thinking, I wish someone could just tell me what's normal, what's not, POP is literally that someone. You can book a free consult or join their community using the link in the show notes. Again, no pressure, just support when you need it.
Yeah, because like for the longest time, even for the bariatric surgery, like I love my surgeon, but I definitely felt kind of like a number, you know?
Yes. And there's a lack of support.
Yes, yes. Like, did I have, you know, like my appointments? Of course. But like what I know about POP, like it's so much more like, and it's more invasive. It's like we get all sorts of actual support. It's not just your surgeon, and it's beautiful.
With your surgeon, you're going to go to your few pre-op appointments. You're going to do your 1 day, your 3 day, your 1 week, your 3 month post-op appointment. And that's kind of it. There's no real follow-up and checking in on you and talking about the post-operative blues and going really in depth. And with POP, it's holistic care, which means we're not just focusing on your wounds. We're focusing on your mental health, your nutritional health, your spiritual health, plus, of course, your wounds and your supplies and just making sure your physical is, you know, good and going. So it is an all-compass care, which is really helpful. And I think with social media, there's like pros and cons to social media, right?
Yep.
And I think, you know, we're in the era of plastic surgery, bariatric surgery, transparency, and everyone sharing their journey. And we're starting to see more that, wow, these patients need extra support. Yeah. And I love that now that's coming to light and we're able to help those patients.
Yeah, because we feel like, I know in my community, it's just night and day, you know, like mm-hmm. some facilities are amazing and some just don't even care, you mm-hmm. know, and it's awful because I tell people all the time, like, yeah, you can get surgery and lose the weight, but it doesn't fix anything between the ears.
Yes, no, I agree 100%.
And I know I needed that help and I didn't have it 10 years ago. There was nothing like this 10 years ago when I had surgery and I didn't get therapy for, guys, don't kill me, but it's like 7 years into this process. So like I had lots of breakdowns and panic attacks and not knowing why I was having these issues until way later in my journey. And I so wish I had something like Pop Around because I would have signed up immediately because I didn't even have friends that did this surgery.
No.
So I was really alone.
And as a, you know, plastic surgery nurse, what I see and what I hear from my patients is they've lost tremendous amounts of weight or they've had their kids and they're just thinking about the physical. Everyone is honed in. What am I going to look like? I want to look snatched. I want to look this way. And then once they get the surgery, they realize, whoa, like, hold on. This is way more than physical. Like, my mental space is different. My emotional space is different. Like, they were not expecting the all-around change. And so for patients to already be ahead of the game with POP and like, okay, I met with my mental health coach. This is what I'm going to expect. I met with my nutritionist. I know what to expect. And so going into it, knowing what to expect, honestly, I've seen it firsthand. Your results are maintained and they go long term.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've seen, especially, you know, being around POP for 3 years now, like you can just see the longevity of these people and how happy they are. So I'm just so happy you're part of the crew and the group and the family.
It was all meant to be, just meeting Laura. And I never knew about POP, like even as a plastic surgery nurse. When, you know, I was talking to her and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is my field. How do I not even know about this? And she was like, we're one of the first companies doing this with AI software and the first ones doing this. And I'm so happy that like I am starting with her in this journey and we are going to make every surgeon, every patient in the States and out of the States aware of this company. And yes, we can just help so many other people.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Because I'm on the West Coast. So I'm like, let's get all the West Coasters on because I know we have a lot of East Coast. So it's like, I'll hang out on the West Coast. I'll get you people because I know so many people now that are getting the surgeries or getting plastic surgery and they go, you know, they travel. And then they're like, what do I do now? And now we have a place for you guys. So it's great.
And that's a huge thing, too. You know, people are flying. I'm not the biggest fan of plastic surgery abroad. There are ways to do it very safe. But there are a lot of women choosing to travel abroad, whether they go to Dubai, they go to Turkey, they go to Colombia. And then they come back to the States 2 weeks later and they're like, I can't get a hold of the patient care coordinator. I can't get a hold of my surgeon or there's a delay in response or a delay in communication.
Right.
So having POP, especially if you are going to travel abroad and get any type of surgery, is almost necessary. It is like vital to having good long-term results.
Oh, I agree. Because people don't realize that you're going to go through different phases after plastic surgery. So definitely get someone in for your care team. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And Jalen's going to talk to us about some motivation. So like we started in the beginning, how do you keep someone going when we get someone to this fading area that happens in January?
Yes. So January, it's like new body, new goals. And sometimes, you know, you can feel stuck or burnt out when starting. You're seeing everyone else on social media, like new year, new me. They're starting hard that first week of January, but you're like, wow, like I'm still burnt out. And, you know, you're not broken. Your body is asking for regulation. So a lot of patients, what I hear is they think burnout means like they failed, right? When really it's your body giving you feedback. And ladies, even men, you need to listen to your body. It usually means that you've been pushing hard without rest, without support. And I remember a patient, she was about 2 weeks post-op when she called me and she was crying. And she was like, I just got, I think she got a mommy makeover. And she was like, it's a new year. And like, I want to go harder on my goals. And I thought I'd feel amazing by now, but I just feel like heavy and unmotivated. You know, everyone thinks that something's wrong with them. And what's actually happening is her adrenaline was wearing off and her body was in deep healing mode. But I always tell patients, like, reframe burnout as a signal instead of a flaw. And the tips I kind of give is like, instead of asking what's wrong with me, it's like, what do I need more of right now? Do you need more rest, hydration, nourishment, or support before you start and try to, you know, achieve new goals and work hard and go back to the gym and eat right? So when you ask yourself, like, what do you need in this moment? It lowers your stress immediately.
Oh, that's a great thing to ask yourself, because I've done this to myself a few times. So, you know, it doesn't discriminate. Like, this burnout will happen.
You have to assess yourself before, you know, starting anything in life and whatever you're trying to achieve. It's, how am I feeling? What do I need more of right now? What can I do? What can I give myself right now in order to achieve these results and start these goals and make these accomplishments?
Agreed. And I would even say, like, write it down. I'm a big advocate of journaling. So I notice, like, when I actually get it out of my head on a paper, I'm like, oh, that's what I really want.
Yeah.
Sometimes it trips you up and you don't realize what you actually want until you start writing.
Yeah, writing it down, setting a plan, and making achievable goals, right? We don't want like a huge transformation right at the start of the new year or right when you're trying to make a plan, because usually when you have large, large goals, we're not able to maintain them. We need short, achievable goals. Write them down, like Mel said, and start checking off your list. Even if it's, I'm drinking 100 ounces of water a day and you've only ever drank in one or two water bottles. Or I'm going to get 3K steps in. And before that, you were just sitting on the couch, working from home or watching Netflix or sitting at your desk office all day. So once you start to like check that little list, you're like, wow, like, okay, I'm actually doing something. I see progress. You're feeling better about yourself. So writing it down, checking it off, I live by that.
Oh, yeah. It's like the dopamine hit. Every time I get a task done, I'm like, oh, I did it today. Girl. It makes me feel good. I'm like, yeah. So I love that.
Honey, even a to-do list. I am, you know, a type A OCD. I will have my to-do list for every day. And I could just delete it off my notes. Dopamine hit instantly.
I know. I feel so excited. Like, I edited 3 episodes last night and I was like, there we go. Let's do this. So yeah, I mean, and I do talk about that. Just take the little wins as much as possible. Like, just celebrate the little guys, because the big ones only happen every few and far between, but you can get the little wins all day long.
Those little ones will add up to those big ones. And knowing that you can achieve so many little goals gives you the motivation to like, all right, I said I could lose this amount of weight in this amount of time. I achieved all this. Now I know I can totally achieve this bigger goal. So that is like the number one tip for
sure. Yeah, I feel like that boosts your confidence. Am I right? Like, it kind of.
Yes, it gives you the confidence that you've achieved these little things. Why can't I achieve these? Easy, money in the bank. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They got to trust yourself. That's the biggest deal too.
Yes. And
what would you say? Because I know I have a lot of ADHD followers and I know that that's a, oh, are you ADHD too? So,
you know,
I know
I'm
that
like
their minds kind of go wild. I can see it on people now that I know what it is exactly. Because yes. Like my brother has it, his wife has it, all my friends have it. And I'm like,
girl,
am I a therapist? I'm like, how do I not have it? She goes, no, they attract to you because you're chill and you have are you- go with the flow. I'm like, oh, got it.
I'm like, have you seen that TikTok where there is a mom and she has to literally tie herself to the dishwasher to get the dishes done? Because with ADHD, you're like, oh, wait, but I can go throw in a load of laundry. Oh, wait, I can go feed the dog. Oh, wait, I can go clean the fridge. And it's like, no, you need to tie yourself to one place, get this done, and then you can move on. No, that's, yeah, I feel it to the core.
So if you know how it feels, how do we help those that have it so they're not going all over the place? Because I hear that a lot in the beginning of the year where they're like, they're trying to do so many things, you know, instead of just one.
I will say I am addicted to being productive, and that's like a pro and a con. And I know so many people can probably relate with me out there. Yeah. I have to constantly be productive. I have to constantly be checking something off. And I love to multitask because if I can do two things at once, it saves me time later to do something else.
Exactly.
And that is not healthy. And I think over the year with juggling so many things, I've had to learn the hard way. Like, okay, hold on. We have enough hours in the day. Let's breathe. What is the most important thing? What's going to drive me insane that I need to get done now so I don't start another task and then I have to stop mid-task and go somewhere else? So have a little list. Like we said, we're the queen of lists over here. Have your list. What is on the top of your mind that you need to get off your chest now so you can have an efficient kind of day? So whether that, okay, the dishes are driving me nuts, let me sit here, do these dishes, focus, go to my list, cross that off. Okay, what's number two on my thing on the top of my head that I need to get off my chest? I need to throw that load of laundry in. So kind of make a list. But what I do is what are the top three things that are bothering me right now? And once I get those three things done, I can all right, I can move on steady and stick to my one task at hand. That works for me.
Yeah, I like that you're putting out there that it's get it off your chest, because you're right. We're obsessing over it in our heads.
Yes.
And so it's get all those obsessions out as first, it sounds like.
Because if you're going to choose to sweep the floor first, but those dishes are just driving you up a wall, do the dishes first.
Yeah.
Do that first and go to a task that's not driving you up a wall. And that at least you will adhere to those tasks. Get it done, and then you can move on.
I love it. I love it. So is there any other things that you do as an ADHD person to help yourself?
You know, I self-diagnosed myself with ADHD. There's no confirmed diagnosis. But as of right now, that is what has been working for me. And, you know, this is new. In the past year with juggling so much, I'm still learning how to control everything and work through it. And so far, that has been helping me. And look, everyone out there, if there's some more tips that you got for your girl, I will be happy to take them, because this is all new. The whole ADHD and honing in on task is so new to me, and I'm still trying to learn myself.
Yeah, send them in, guys. I like to be efficient. That's my thing.
Yes.
So it's the more efficient I can be, the better. So put those in the comments below. You know, let us know what you're doing at home, because I think we need we're all helping each other out here.
Yes. And
I know I'll get, I know that I'm not ADHD. I've actually talked to my therapist and everything about it.
Uh-huh.
And so, but she knows that certain things do bug me. And
I forgot to even say this. I feel like nursing made me this way, the nursing profession.
Oh, yeah?
And being in the operating room. I swear to God, because before being in the OR as a plastic surgery nurse, I was never like this. And being in the operating room, if anyone has ever kind of seen shows or seen social media, you have to be 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of not only your surgeon, but your anesthesiologist and your scrub tech.
Oh,
so you have to be ahead of the game, and you are on your mind is 20 different things at once. Does my anesthesiologist have their meds? Does my surgeon and my tech have their sterile instruments? Is my bag of fluids still running? Is the bear hugger on? Are my patient's SCDs working? Okay, what time did I get this? When's the next dose? So your mind is going 1,000 miles a minute, and we're doing like maybe 2 to 3 cases a day. And then it's like, okay, I'm already thinking about my next person. I need to be pre-oping. I need to get the urine. I need to have her changed. Then I'm thinking about, okay, PACU, is my bed ready? Are my meds ready? So I took that, my profession, and I now do that in my daily life, which is not good because it's like my cortisol levels are probably through the roof because I'm stressed.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of what I carried on. And I've noticed that. And, you know, I barely thought about this like maybe last year. Like, why am I like this now? Oh, because of my nursing profession and what I do at work. And we work 5 days a week, 8 hours, 10, 12 hours a day. And of course, if that is your main routine throughout the day, you're going to take that into your personal life. And it's hard to like stop that because you get home at 5 o'clock and you have 4 hours to get things done, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, I might as well work as efficient as I did at work and multitask and have a bunch of things on your to-do list. And, you know, you're cooking dinner and you're doing the laundry and you're cleaning the shelves, like whatever you're doing when you get home. So that is definitely where it stemmed from. So learning, kind of being more self-aware and learning to deal with that has been a little bit tricky, but you know, I'm glad we're talking about this and spreading awareness.
Yes, yes. Well, and you brought up, I know this wasn't part of the questions, but you brought up cortisol. And I know that's a stress hormone. Can you tell them why it's important to not have it so high?
You do not cortisol level so high. It ruins everything. Your hormones, your skin, your clarity, everything it affects when those levels are too high. We want those levels low just so you can think clearer, make better decisions, feel better, not be bloated, not have breakout hormonal acne. Like, it affects so many things. And throughout the years, I feel like we've become more aware of it, especially people who aren't in the healthcare field, using social media and just like doing things to lower your cortisol levels. And that goes into working out. And you don't need to be lifting crazy amounts of weight in the gym. Whether you take a Pilates class, a yoga class, maybe walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes, do some light movement, get your body movement. Going outside, if you're stuck in a cubicle, just stressed all day, going outside maybe in intervals every 2 to 3 hours, I'm setting an alarm on my phone and I'm going to step outside and get some sunshine. I'm drinking my water. Your body needs to be hydrated. If it's dehydrated, it's under stress, right? Nourishing our bodies. And yes, I love Chick-fil-A. I'm an avid Chick-fil-A eater. I'm not saying you need to be eating crazy diet, but do everything in moderation, you know?
Yeah.
During the week, prep your meals, prep your lunches, have a good hearty breakfast, eat your protein. So that helps too. Just do things that are good for you. Stop, breathe, like remember to relax. Make sure you're deep breathing, because when we're stressed and our cortisol levels are high, what I notice, I do this too, is I shallow breathe. I'm like, and I'm not fully getting that deep breath, feeling our lungs, feeling that lung expansion. Like, these are all little things that we can do throughout the day to lower our cortisol levels. And maybe if you're in a high, you know, you have kids at home, you have a family, and you have a high demanding job, maybe even if you've been in that job for a long time, maybe start looking to switch into roles, something that lowers your stress level. That's really important. You do not have to stay stuck in the same place you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. Whether you've been at this job 5 years, 10 years, 1 month, if it is too much stress, you do not have to stay there. You don't, you know, think of yourself first, put yourself first.
I would agree, because I've had to change jobs. I even went back to school so that way I didn't have to do any of those like entry level positions, because it would just drain you mentally, physically. And those are when I was like getting from 250 to 270 to 300 pounds.
Yes, weight gain. Cortisol will make you gain weight so fast.
Yes, 100%. And I've been trying to teach people that, like, hey, if we keep our cortisols lower, it actually helps you lose weight.
Yes.
So, yeah. Your body makes you gain.
Yeah, yeah, your body's not in stress survival mode. Your body can relax and actually heal and start to shed that weight. 100% agree, Mel.
Yeah, because keep going.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you know, if you feel like you're stressed at work or just in your daily life and you really want to see, you can go to LabCorp, you can go to Quest. Your insurance should cover it. If it doesn't, their prices, you can call them and get a quote how much to run this lab, you know, to test these levels that I want. Or you can go to your primary care provider, get a referral and get your lab drawn just to really see. Because I think some people, I'm stressed every now and then, I'm fine. But having those numbers and looking at them, oh, shoot, like, no, I am really stressed. I do need to make some changes. And that might just give you the leap of faith. All right, let me quit this job that I've been at for 5 years and go do, you know, the same profession, but maybe something less demanding and change your habits.
I would even go any further as, like, I'm learning how to keep my energy positive and the space that I have and who gets to enter that space and who doesn't now. Like, I went on a whole journey of that last year, and that has lowered my cortisol levels. It doesn't even have to be just work. It could be a friendship. It can be a partnership. It could be anything, because I've learned that actually negative people around me were bringing my creativity down. It was making me more stressed. I wasn't able to sleep as well. So I really look at who's around you, because it might not be you. It could be just that someone's just in your life giving you negative feedback all the time. And that's something that you're going to have to train. Yeah.
Yeah. Your friends, who you surround yourself with is who you become. And that is so important. Whether that's family, unfortunately, I know most of us have one or two family members that we feel for them, but they are just so negative and they're stuck in their ways and they're putting that negativity onto you. And that's affecting your health and your mental health and your physical, emotional, everything. And, or you have friends, maybe they've been your friends since high school and you feel bad for, you know, pushing them away and saying, hey, I need to protect my inner peace. I need to focus on my health. You're stressing me out. And I shouldn't even be stressed about these things.
I was getting stressed out over someone else's problems. That's what my problem was.
That is the worst. You got to be careful who you help dig a hole, because you can end up in that hole with them.
Oh, I like that. That's a good way to put it. Because I was in that hole. I was in there with her. Oh my God. Yes, I definitely was. Yeah. And it was very eye-opening when they're not around. And you're like, but it's huge. Like, my family, so this time last year I had, people think I'm crazy, but I did let my aunt and uncle and my three cousins live with me. The cousins were all like 18, 20, and 24. So it's not like I had little kids around, but we have one bathroom and there was a total of seven of us, because it was me and my son at the time that he lived here too. So when I had, like, my ex left, I kicked him out of the house. And then I had some friends left my vicinity, is what I'll call it. My family was like, your face is like calmer. You're not so tight. Like, I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, your face used to be so tense. And I'm like, oh my God, I had no
idea. They noticed just you relaxed. Your physical presence was just relaxed. Wow. Yeah.
So just know, guys, like, your family and friends notice these things, and definitely take a inventory of what's going on in your life. Because my therapist is kind of funny, where, like, I will think I'm not stressed. We'll go back to how, like, oh, we're fine. We think we're fine. And we started the conversation. She's like, well, how was your week? And I was like, you know, it's gone really well. I had a great week. And she goes, yeah. And I go, I mean, I did get in a car accident, but it's fine. And she's like, Melanie.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, how do you not consider that an issue? And I was like, well, I mean, I'm not hurt. So, like, it's fine. But these are little things.
We're fine.
We're fine. So these are those little things that you forget actually put stress on your body physically and mentally. So like you have to really think about what's going on in your life, because we kind of chalk things up that it's fine, but when it's actually not fine for us.
People need to be self-aware, point blank, period. Being self-aware changes your life in so many ways. That is one thing that if you take away anything from this podcast today is becoming more self-aware. And there are audiobooks on becoming self-aware. There are YouTube videos. There's short form content, TikToks. Even if you don't want to read a whole book, there are tips on becoming more self-aware and just taking that initiative. And once you start looking introspectively, wow, like I need to change this. Wow, this is really stressing me out. Wow, this habit that I thought was good for me is actually bad for me. There are so many things, and you can start off small. Start off with your daily tasks or start off with your daily relationships. Start off small. And once you start noticing small things, you start to look at bigger things. And then once you start to look at bigger things, that's when your life really changes. And it's changes. So transformational.
It's huge. And I get sometimes frustrated because now I feel like I'm too aware.
Yes.
And it's frustrating because you're like, once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? So you're
like, son of a bitch.
Why'd you have to do that?
Damn it.
Yeah. You're like, why'd you have to do that?
I agree, but being self-aware is better than being not aware. I cannot stand people who are just not self-aware of themselves and self-aware of their environment and self-aware of others. We are all grown adults and you need to have these skills, and it's vital to living a healthy, good life.
And I couldn't agree more, because with motivation to keep that going, self-awareness is part of that. And then I wanted to talk about small habits and how to get small habits to become permanent. Mm-hmm. I think we lose that along the way, but that's so motivational if we can get these little habits in. So what are some things that you can help us with when it comes to small habits?
I want people to, one, realize that the biggest changes come from the smallest habits, and listen closely, done consistently. Whether that Mel's drinking her water right now, whether that is improving your hydration, that's getting better sleep, that is incorporating gentle movement into your daily routine. But the biggest one that I see is listening to your body without judgment. You know, you need to pick one daily anchor habit, whether start small. Today, I'm going to drink a full water bottle by noon. Tomorrow, I'm going to go on a 10-minute walk. Maybe you've never, when's the last time you went on a 10-minute walk? I bet a lot of you don't know. Or I'm going to set a bedtime. This is huge. We think we're adults now and going to bed at 11, 1130 is like fine and everyone's doing it and we're doom scrolling on TikTok. No, stop it. Cut it out. No more doom scrolling on TikTok. If you want to doom scroll, give yourself 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 minutes in the evening. Schedule your doom scroll. I love a good doom scroll. Girl, I'm on TikTok doing whatever you want to do. I'm on YouTube watching a video. But you need to do small habits. Incorporate these into your daily life. Put them on a little checklist. Hold yourself accountable. Don't just say, tomorrow, I'm going to maybe drink a bottle of water. No, schedule it out, time it out, and be consistent. Because consistently beats intensity every single time. Consistency and small habits will be life-changing and make the biggest difference over time.
So I've heard of this trick. Tell me if you do this. Is like you pair a habit with something that you already do. So that way it kind of like stays around. So like I, every morning, even if I'm not going to shower, I always brush my teeth, wash my face. Like that's just, I get up, go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, wash my face.
Okay.
So if you add like, okay, now I'm going to go drink a bottle of water.
Yes. And that's good. I'm an avid coffee drinker. Are you, Mel?
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
I know. Everybody is. It's like, I'm a rarity. I get it. I drink tea. I'm a hot tea girl.
Okay. You're a tea girl. So, you know, like Mel said, during your regular routine and you want to start maybe taking supplements, it's the new year. You want to start taking all your supplements, or maybe you want to start drinking more water. Part of that morning routine, okay, after I brush my teeth, after I wash my face, I'm immediately going to go drink a bottle of water. Okay, with that, I'm going to take my supplements. Already have your supplements laid out for you the night before. Okay, I want to start going to the gym in the morning. Okay, have your gym clothes laid out. Maybe in the morning for an hour, you're eating your breakfast and you're watching TV before you go to bed. I mean, before you go to work. Instead of that, have your gym clothes out. I'm going to go walk for 30 minutes on the treadmill. And then I'll come back and watch TV. Like, incorporate them into your daily habits. I think that is such a strong start.
Yeah. And I say, and we're going to keep saying this, small. Start off small. And because I know you ADHDers out there want to go big or go home.
Go big or go home, baby.
Yeah. Or it's all or nothing. But it's these little things that I know for these last 10 years has actually really helped me have the brain and the knowledge that I have now and the habits that I do have now. Now, I'm going to tell you, it takes work. I had to literally, you know, sit myself down several times and restarted several times these last 10 years. But the thing that I've learned is just never give up on yourself and just do something until it becomes natural. Then go to the next. Because and I've had friends. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, just to touch on that, you don't have to be perfect overnight.
No. And I think we need to get used to, it's okay to not know how to do these things.
Yes.
Like a lot of us get mad at ourselves. I know I do. I'd be like, why can't I fucking get this? Like, why is this so hard? And it's like, it's because you were never taught. You were never shown how to do these things. You didn't have a role model that was doing these things.
Yes.
And it's okay that you don't know. That's what I've learned is like, be coachable. Don't have an ego about it. Just keep going. That's the deal. It's just don't stop.
And I've talked to so many patients. They've lost, you know, tremendous amounts of weight, or they're looking to lose weight and get plastic surgery. And the number one thing I hear is, well, growing up, like my parents didn't ever do, there wasn't a wellness era. My parents were overweight. They were obese. My grandparents were overweight. They were obese. We ate out all the time. I'm from the South, or this is our culture. And now as adults, there is so much education at our fingertips, from social media to YouTube, to books, to podcasts, to everywhere. You can look ChatGPT. You can literally ask ChatGPT, put in your height, your weight, your age, and what you're looking to achieve. There's so an array of options that we can utilize to change our lives for the better. So the excuse of, well, I didn't grow up like this, or no one taught me, or my mom never cooked for me growing up, so like I just eat out all the time. That stops today.
Yes.
Advocate for yourself. Research some things. ChatGPT, it will make you a whole meal plan, a workout plan, tips to get you going, and start with small steps. So that mentality, I understand it, but it has to stop, because we can make the change. It is 2026.
It is, guys. And what's really cool that I've done with ChatGPT is you can actually put in all the grocery stuff you have in your house. Yes. And then you can tell it, hey, I would like to make 3 dinners out of this. I need it to fit in these macros. You can literally put your macros in, guys. And then it just spits out recipes and meals that you can make out of it. Like we don't ever have to look at our fridge anymore and be like, I don't know what to do. Like you have even people that, you know, are in SNAP have phones. So it's like, go get this, like, go look at this. Go, don't just do some research for yourself, like you're saying, because it goes a long way.
And what's so great about ChatGPT, say your budget for 2 weeks for groceries is, I don't know, $150 or for 1 week or whatever it is. I have a budget of $150 for the week or 2 weeks. I want to have a low calorie, high protein meal. What can I buy from the grocery store and make meals under this budget? And it will literally tell you what to buy, how much that item costs. And you can stay within your budget and you can have good, healthy meals. And it's, there's no more reasons. There's no more. The only thing that's stopping you is you.
Ooh, I love that because it's so true. It's so
true. That's true.
It is. I know I tell people all the time, like, because I've done it to myself, is like we get in our own way.
Of course. Of course.
And we're self-sabotagers. It happens. But what chat and all these new AI things that are happening is actually taking the guesswork out of it for you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be scared anymore about a budget, because I've been on a budget. You guys, if you've been following me, you know, I'm on a budget. You know, your girl's DoorDashing every once in a while to supplement her income. That's what I'm doing. I'm grinding. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
But I do.
I am so happy I had surgery first and lost the weight, because when I look at food now on a budget, it's completely different. Like, there's no filler items. Everything is either meat, veggies, or fruit.
Yep. Produce. You know? You don't need to be spending your money. Oh, I went to the grocery store and you end up with Pringles and Doritos and pound cakes. No. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your time. Yep. And you're saying, oh, I don't have enough money to buy meats and veggies and fruit. Yeah, because you wasted all your money buying junk.
Yep.
Like, common sense, being self-aware. Like, it has to stop, you guys. This is the only way we're going to make an active change in our own lives.
Well, and that's what I've been learning this last year of, like, I call it a financial cleanse, where I've literally turned off so many subscriptions. I went through every single bill item. I am saving so much more money now, guys. And now my money's intentional. That's what I'm learning is, like, I'm 39 years old learning this, guys. There's no time limit on this.
No,
and
where not.
Your money needs to be intentional and it needs to work for you. So that's why I'm buying, you know, only fruits and vegetables and meat and potatoes and rice and whatever. And that's why I put my money into pop, things like that. You know, like you have to use that money to get what you need and not care about what everybody else thinks that you need. That's the new mind change is like
everyone works so hard for their money. Like, we all do with whatever profession that we do. We wake up every day, we go to work, even on days that we don't want to. Why would you waste your hard-earned money, and why would you not put it into yourself? Yes. Whether that's skincare, whether that's a gym membership, whether that's good food, good quality food, whether that is a concierge company like Pop, whether that's a therapist, a life coach, putting money, your hard-earning money, into you, that has to be done.
Well, and I have never met someone that says that they put time and money into themselves and regretted it.
Nope, right? Not at all. Just like you, you don't want to work out. No one ever regrets a gym session.
No, we always regret not going.
Yeah, but you don't regret not, like, actually going.
We go. Yeah, when you're there, you're like, all right, let's do this. Like, and that's actually what I had to do, was I turned off all these subscriptions and figured out where my money and my budget was. And then I was able to add the gym back in. Because I canceled so many other things that don't
matter.
Things. You know, like, why do I have Apple TV? Why do I have Shudder? Don't know what that is.
Like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it was for horror movies. I know I did it, like, probably last year during, like, a horror fest situation.
Halloween season.
My birthday is the day before Halloween. I love creepy, we're twins. Gory.
My Scorpio twin. My birthday is on Halloween, though. I'm a Halloween baby.
Holy shit. I was almost. That's so crazy.
Yes
the Scorpios. Like,
Scorpio,
we're loyal
season.
As fuck. That's all I got to say.
Yes, ma'am.
That's, we're feisty, but we're loyal. Okay.
Yes.
But this is the truth. But yeah, like, so you have to turn off all these random subscriptions, you know, and it worked to where I could actually, like, oh, Mel, you need, yeah, like my therapist, I can pay her every week now. I can make sure I go to the gym now. I can pay the $24.99. So that way when I do travel, I can go to any Planet Fitness, you know? So it's like, find out the things that actually you need that work for you, because it's not the same for your friend down the street. It's not the same as your neighbor. And I just want people to be way more intentional, because I realized I was losing money all the time. And I was losing money. I was losing time. I was gaining weight. I wasn't feeling supported. So it's like, sometimes you just literally, again, sit yourself down, write some stuff out, and figure out what works, because it's not worth feeling uncomfortable your whole life. I know what it feels like to be uncomfortable for 28 years of my life, and it sucked. Okay. So now it's all about what I want and to be comfortable.
Yes. And you know, what I hear a lot from other women and patients is they're scared to do it alone. That is honestly what I hear a lot. And I get that. We don't want to do all things in life alone. We want to have a buddy that's on the same wavelength, or we want to have a significant other that's on the same wavelength. You know, lifestyle changes when you're really locked in can feel incredibly lonely, even if you're surrounded by people. Yep. So I just, you know, even if you have to find or choose one safe person, or even get your significant other, or kind of maybe get your friend, make a pack and do it together, you know your goals, check in with each other. It almost kind of makes it fun, like a game, like holding each other accountable. Like, oh girl, you didn't want to go to the gym today. Get your booty up. We're going, clock in, turn your watch on and get on the treadmill.
Yes.
I love that too. That is another tip, is finding that safe person, significant other, even if it's an internet buddy, like, you know what I mean? Someone all the way in Idaho and you're in LA, just having that support person and holding each other accountable really does make it more fun and helps you.
Yeah. I would even go as far as the internet peeps are, they're the ones that keep me on track no matter what. Like they're more on it than my daily peeps, which is hilarious. And just get into a community, you know, like Pop has their free community. I have my patrons. So like we meet every month. We have a whole Facebook group. We have experts that come on. So like, and there's over 100 people in my patron group, and they're literally, their ages are from 24 up to their 60s. So like you're getting so many different types of people and that have been in different walks of life that can help you. And I think that's key too, is when you don't feel alone, like the support can go a long way for you. And I wanted
finding
to touch base
community
on that. Like, how do you ever see anybody do well alone?
There's very few patients, very few people. Like myself, I do thrive alone. I grew up alone. I was mostly an only child on my mom's side. So you learn how to survive alone. You learn how to just be with yourself. But there does come a point in time where everyone needs help. Everyone needs that extra support. And just like, once again, being self-aware. Okay, I could probably suffer and do this alone and figure it out and, you know, hit some bumps in the road. But if I ask for help and I take the help, I could probably get it done a little bit faster and it'll be a little bit easier. And I won't be as stressed. My cortisol levels won't be high.
There you go.
Asking for help always helps.
It's in the name.
There is to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have an ego. Everyone needs it in their life, and asking for it and accepting it is the biggest key.
And for motivation wise, how would you tell a patient to celebrate their wins when it's not weight related? Because that scale stops.
Girl, the scale, especially after surgery, and Mel, you probably know this, the scale lies.
Yes, it's a big liar all the time. It's so frustrating.
And you know, like progress, if people don't see that scale going down, they think that they're not making progress. Well, why the hell am I doing all this? I'm wasting my time. They lied to me. Why am I getting, you know, why is the number going up and it's supposed to be going down? I've been working so hard and I've been so consistent. But progress is not linear, whether you have had surgery or whether you hadn't. It is not linear. And healing starts internally before it shows externally.
Right.
So track your non-scale wins, whether that is, okay, the scale went up a pound or two, but I hit the gym every day this week. I didn't DoorDash once. I slept my 8 hours a night. I've been on my water game. I've been drinking 120 ounces a day. So tracking these non-scale wins, even though the scale's going up, helps. It says, okay, like, let's keep pushing. Maybe I need another 2 weeks. And then you check in a week or two and, okay, like, the scale went down. So it's never going to be linear. Don't panic is the biggest thing. Stay consistent. Stay doing the small wins and the small steps, checking off your tasks. And that eventually that scale is going to go down and you will see the progress if you are consistent.
Yeah, it's really the consistency is key. As much as we all hate hearing it, it's just, it's true.
Girl, if I could say that till I turn purple, consistency is key. Do not just go, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym today because your mood. Like, stick to your plan. Be consistent and you will see progress faster than anything else.
I couldn't agree more. My dad was very big about like quality over quantity. And and he, you know, I was a chubby little, I came out chubby. So like I was a chubby little girl. And, you know, he would tell me, he goes, I know that you're upset that you're not able to like run like everyone else. Cause I could never get the mile done in 15 minutes like they all could. And, and whatever. He goes, you know what? You might not be as talented right now as they are, but you know what you can be that they're not. And I was like, what? And he goes, consistency. He goes, you can beat people in consistency all day long. And I was like, and that has been instilled in me. And that has actually worked to my benefit my whole life because I was in the corporate world. I was fighting the male club and dealing with that. And it was like, yeah, but these guys, you know, we do challenges. And what I could always beat them in was consistency. My boss would be like, holy shit, Mel, like you're going T to T with these guys. And I was like, yeah. Like, I'm not giving up. And they would. Like, we had a standing contest once. We all got, like, I worked at Progressive. And we all got, everyone in the office got standing desks. So it was brand new to us, right? We're all excited. Yeah. And there's probably just me and two other women in the actual office. And a lot of the guys are, they played college football, college basketball, track, whatever, right? And I have no athletics. Like, I played volleyball and I was in choir. That's what I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I did. And I was like, oh, I can totally do this. They're like, you want to put some money on this? And I was like, what are we doing? And they're like, the longest person stands wins. And I was like,
ooh.
I was like, you mean all day? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, done.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're like, seriously? I'm like, done, son. Not even a problem. So like me and three other guys, 8 o'clock stood. And by lunchtime, two of the guys were down. It was just me and Chad. And then by the third break or the second break, he was down. And I just kept staying. I was by myself. I won.
Okay, man.
But I kept going. And they're like, you don't have to. You can just sit. And I go, no, I told you I was going to do it all day. I'm going to do it all day. I was like,
I love that.
And I did it all week long. And they were like, holy shit. And I go, yeah, like you tell me to do something. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to stay consistent, like challenge accepted. But that made them look at me different. It made them show that, oh, you know, I'm not a pushover. Consistency can show your boss a lot of different things. It can show your relationship a lot of different things. And then it shows yourself what you're capable of. Like if you can be consistent with yourself, then you can be consistent with anything. And
amen.
It's such a big deal. And that's why, like, even I'll get down on myself. December was a hard month. And I was getting down on myself thinking that I was screwing everything up and I'm a horrible podcaster and I'm not doing anything right. All these things. And I was like, no, you're not. Stop it. Just stay consistent. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. And that's I had to keep reverting myself because I kept wanting to change the plan and do something different. And I was like, no. And my therapist had to keep reminding me of, you're just stay consistent. And oh my God, January's been 10 times better. So it's like,
yes,
just stick to your plan and just be real with yourself, I think is the key to this journey. While we're wrapping up, Jalen, what are some things that you want to give out to the audience about, you know, motivation and staying, you know, in your why, like keep remembering your why and things like that?
You know, at the end of the day, you need to keep showing up for yourself. No one else is going to do it. You are your biggest fan, your own advocate. We only have one life and it is short. Time goes by very fast. And if you're not doing it for yourself, do it for your kids, your family, your spouse. It just makes such a difference. And it benefits everybody, not only you. When you make those changes in your lifestyle, whatever it is, eating healthier, drinking less, stopping smoking, going to the gym, it radiates out onto everybody else. And, you know, it's not overnight. No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. But if you're just give yourself the grace, have the support that you need, be consistent, the transformation becomes deeper than just physical. And that's where the real glow up happens.
Oh, I love that. She is not wrong, my friends. She is not wrong. Well, thank you so much, Jalen, for coming on. I'm going to have all of her information in the show notes. So if you need to get a hold of her or Pop, we can definitely do that. And always remember, there's a few things that you have to do. And I say it at the end of every podcast. You need to get your water. You got to get that protein in. Get your vitamins. I got ProCare right here. And sleep. Sleep is huge.
It's so underrated, but it makes such a difference.
Your
minimum 8 hours at least. I know we all wish we could get 9 hours, 9.5, but at least get 8 hours. Stop that doom scrolling on TikTok. Set your alarm. Put on your noise therapy, put on your humidifier and go to bed.
Yes. Do the damn thing. Lastly, don't be an asshole to one another.
Period.
Right? Have a great week, y'all. Let us know if you need anything. We are here for you.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Happy New Year. And I hope you achieve all the goals that you set out to do.
Me too. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Our Sleep Life Podcast. Don't forget to head over to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and follow me on all the socials so you stay connected. And remember, until next time, keep shining bright.